Welcome to Threshold Church. Today's message is from Pastor Jake Cale.
Now, this is the first Sunday of the month. As you probably know, it's August 1st. How did that happen? It is August 1st. And first Sunday of the month, we really set aside for more of a worship and intercession and prayer focus. We've been doing that for the last several months. And so we're going to do that again today. I am going to preach a short message that really just kind of gives us a springboard into the time of prayer. Then we're going to really have some focused time on prayer. And so I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 17. And I want to talk about the connection between prayer and mission. The connection between prayer and mission. You know, if you've been around for any period of time, you know that we emphasize prayer. You've probably heard me say many times, our first call is to be a house of prayer. It's the first calling that God has given us. I believe that that's a mandate from the Lord, that when Jesus said, it is written, my Father has said, my house should be called a house of prayer, that didn't leave any room. There was no wiggle room in that statement. He didn't say that this was an option. He didn't say, well, you can, you know, if you want to be a praying church, you can. No. This is not one of those optional things. This is not one of those things that's just a preference. This is a call of the church of Jesus Christ to be a praying church. And but maybe you're wondering, well, why? What's the point? You know, why do you emphasize prayer? I hope that this little short message is going to help give some insight into why prayer is so critical, why it's so important, the connection between prayer and mission. All right, Exodus 17, verse 8. It says, now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now this is really significant because this is the first battle, the first fight, the first battle that Israel was going to face after coming out of Egypt, after God had delivered them out of Egypt, where Moses had gone in, right? And he took them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. Now this is their first fight, their first battle with an enemy nation, the Amalekites. Verse 9 says, Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. I always love God's strategies, God's battle plans. They never make sense in the natural. They never make sense in the natural, right? Does this sound like a good strategy? All right, Joshua, here's the plan. You find some troops. I'm going to go up on a mountain, right? It never makes sense in the natural. All right, Gideon, you have too many people. Let's get rid of some of these people, right? All right, Gideon, you still have too many people. Let's get it down to 300. Not your typical battle plan, right? All right, Joshua, I want you to march around this city and just blow the... and just. Don't say a word. Don't do anything. Just march around the city of Jericho. Next day, do it again. Next day, do it again. Next day, do it again, right? Then the seventh day, do it seven times. Does this sound like a good battle plan, a good strategy, right? On the seventh day, blow the trumpet, right? But here's the thing. Obedience is what brings the fruit. Obedience to God's plan, obedience to God's call. And this is a pattern here, I believe, is being established in this story of God's strategy for victory. So he says, tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was, here's a key verse, verse 11. So it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. We're getting an inside story right here, an inside scoop on what was going on. On the battlefield, nobody knew what was causing victory or not, or loss. But we get some inside scoop into actually what was causing which army to be winning. But Moses' hands became heavy. He started to get tired, right? I mean, hold your hands up for 5 minutes, you'll start to feel it. So he's getting tired from holding his hands up to the Lord. So they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Where was that battle won? The mountain. That battle was not won on the battlefield. It was won on the mountain. There was troops. There was a battle. There was a mission that had to be accomplished. Both were important. Both were necessary. Joshua had to have the troops. Joshua had to go out and fight the battle. But we know from the story that the battle was not actually won or lost on the battlefield. It was won on the mountain with the hands lifted up in the air. That's the truth of what we see in this story. And that lifting up of hands in the air is represents intercession. It represents prayer. It represents hands lifted up to God, interceding before God. And the same is true today. We are in a battle. If you were here last week, my son preached about the armor of God. We had some children that spoke last week. And he preached about this. There's a battle. There's a mission. And it's not a human army that we're fighting. But there is a spiritual battle. And I want you to notice that whenever the Apostle Paul gave all the armor of God, there's a verse that comes right at the end after he names all the pieces of armor. Then he says, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, persevering in prayer for all the saints. So he gives a call to prayer. And here's what I believe he's saying. If you have all the pieces of armor, but you neglect the part of prayer, then you're not going to win the battle. If you have the right armor, but you neglect the place of prayer, then we're not going to win. Same as it relates to the mission that God's given his people, the Great Commission. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Go into the world, make disciples of all nations. Whatever type of mission you might be involved, whatever type of calling God has given each one of us, different members of the body of Christ, different gifts, different expressions, whether that's in your home, whether that's in your workplace, whether that's in the church, whether that's overseas, whatever that is, the battle will not be won out on the field. It'll be won in the place of prayer and intercession. This is why we emphasize prayer so much in our church. This is why we believe our first calling is to be a house of prayer. Because the reality is, I've said many times, is that God works on the earth through his people, and one of the primary ways he has chosen to work is through prayer. That's just how he has ordained it. That he responds when his people call upon his name. That he responds when his people cry out to him. That he responds when we lift up our voice in faith, when we call upon him, when we pray according to his word, we pray according to his will, when we pray in the Spirit, when we speak his word, right? When we're interceding, God responds to that. He's chosen to do it that way. That's why prayer is the first focus of our vision. Now, it's not the only focus. You'll notice we're called to be a house of prayer, but we're also called to be a place of healing and deliverance and restoration. We're called to be a base of equipping. We're called to be a place of sending. There's multifaceted parts of our vision of what God's given us to do. But prayer is first because God is first. Prayer is first because God is first. And prayer is what secures God's involvement in the battle. Prayer is what invites him to lead, invites him to move, invites his Spirit. The Holy Spirit just seems to be drawn to a people who pray. The Holy Spirit moves in the atmosphere of a people who pray. And so prayer is first because God is first. I love this quote. It's from an old preacher named S.D. Gordon. He said, "You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed." You can do more than pray after you have prayed. You cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. See, it's not that prayer is the only thing. Prayer must be married to action. prayer must be married to obedience. Prayer must be married to mission and doing, right? But until we've prayed, there's nothing more we can do than pray. Until we have prayed, it's the only thing that matters. And there's many purposes of prayer. I believe the highest purpose of prayer is this relationship with God, knowing Him. But it's also connected to mission. The battle we are in the spiritual realm of advancing God's kingdom, of seeing people come to Him, of seeing people get saved, seeing the bound get delivered, captives set free, seeing people get healed, restored, seeing His kingdom advancing in the earth. Notice how Jesus tied this together. This is the last scripture I'm going to quote here, and then we're going to start getting into this time of prayer and intercession. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Jesus said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Now, we've heard that verse before, but I want you to notice Jesus' solution. What is Jesus' solution to the fact that there's such a great harvest, but there aren't many laborers, aren't many workers, aren't many people in the fields? He doesn't say go, He says pray. That the Lord will send into the harvest. Just like the Lord sent Isaiah, we sang about early. Out of that encounter, the Lord sent Isaiah. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. It is His harvest. It belongs to Him. It's His harvest. And fruitfulness will come when the laborers are sent by Jesus Himself, are sent by God Himself, anointed by God Himself. One laborer anointed and sent by God is better than 1,000 appointed by man or self-appointed. So the answer to the need for laborers is prayer. Pray to the Lord of harvest that He would send out the Lord, He would send out the laborers into the harvest fields. How many people have ever heard of a man of God named, he passed away 10 years ago or so, David Wilkerson? Has nobody ever heard of David Wilkerson? In his earliest days, he was known for starting what was called Teen Challenge, which was a ministry that reached gang members and drug addicts on the streets of New York City. There's a whole book about it and story about it called The Cross and the Switchblade, and it's powerful stories. Now, here's a part of the story I never heard until recently. I was reading a book on prayer. Here's a part of the story I never knew about. There was a man, his name was Dick Eastman. He was a intercessor. And one night in New York City, the cops showed up because he was making such a disturbance at 2 a.m. And he was making a disturbance with his intercession. He was out in some place, field, or outside of somewhere, and he was crying out to God in prayer. His heart was broken for the city of New York. He was crying out to God. And the police said, "Sir, what are you doing? We've gotten complaints about the disturbance you're doing." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, officer, I'm just praying to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field." And the officer just let him go. He said, and as the story is told, at that very moment in time, the Holy Spirit came upon David Wilkerson and started telling him that you need to go to New York City. You need to go to New York City and minister to those gang members. See, we don't know all the prayer that's going on behind. See, we all recognize David Wilkerson because he was more like, in the story, he was like Joshua going into the battle. He was more visible to the troops. But there was somebody else behind the scenes that was interceding, that was lifting his hands, that was crying out to God, that was saying, "God, send laborers into the harvest field." The prayers in secret, the prayers that are crying out to God, and God's moving in answer to those prayers. And so we're going to go into a time of prayer. I want you to stand to your feet. You know, we combine prayer. We are called to be a house of prayer, but it's unto the mission, the other facets of the mission that God's given us. That's why we encourage people to get involved in the prayer gatherings that are happening. We have prayer gatherings every day of the week. That's why we have an intercessory team called the Prayer Force that actually prays during services and prays during our deliverance meetings and prays throughout the week, because we're combining prayer with the mission and with what God has called us to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to gather together with like just three or four people. We're going to get into real little groups, just small groups of, let's say, 4 to 5 people. I want you to begin to move and just get out of your seat if you need to. You can use the front area. You can just turn around. I want us to get into groups of just like 4 or 5 people, small groups. And we're going to go into some time of intercession. We're going to go into some time of prayer. I've said this many times, but church is not about being a spectator. It's about being a participant. And so it's time to participate. Maybe prayer is a little bit uncomfortable for you. Maybe praying out loud in groups is uncomfortable for you. Take whatever next step you can. Take whatever next step you're able to take. But I'm going to give you some prayer points. We're going to start with one. Then I'm going to just be quiet for 5 minutes or so and just let you guys pray. Then we'll give you another one. The first one is just based on that passage we just read in Matthew. We're going to pray for the lost to come to salvation, but we're going to pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest. So for the next 3 minutes, 4 minutes, five, however long it goes, let's just begin to lift up our voices. Let's just begin to pray and intercede for the lost to be saved, for laborers to be sent. And let the Holy Spirit just lead you in that and just begin to go. Don't be shy, guys. We can just pray out loud. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in English. Just lift up your voice and begin to pray in these areas.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.